Well, it's good to be back in the Lord's house tonight. And we're thankful for the privilege we have to come together and to worship the Lord and to spend some time around His Word and to worship and honor Him. And we had all intentions tonight of being back inside again when we left here Sunday. Our plans were to be back inside once again, but all of that changed. And on Monday, I got a phone call and found out that one of our neighboring churches had several in their church now that has the COVID-19 virus. And so I reached out to our deacons, and we talked about it and decided for the time being that we were going to go back to the drive-in services and put a hold on coming back inside. We felt like for right now that we wanted to make sure that everyone in our church family was safe and everything, and we didn't want to risk bringing something in with that being in our community and everything. So for now, we're going to just stick with this. We kind of texted a little bit this afternoon, and we're still in agreement, I think, for the time being. So we're going to just stick with this. We'll revert back to the guidelines that we had been using when we were in the drive-in service. We'll meet at 10:30 on Sunday morning, and we'll go through the service like we have been. There'll be going on the FM tuner, and we'll be doing the live streaming and all of those things. We'll be having the services online and all that's involved there. And so we're going to be going back to the guidelines that we did before and everything. So all of this is just to make sure everyone in our church family is safe. And once we feel comfortable coming back in, we will make that announcement. And then we'll come back in with the same guidelines that we came back in with last Sunday. But for right now, we feel like this will be our best way to make sure our church is safe. And that is our goal. We want to worship the Lord, and we want to honor Him. But at the same time, we want to protect our church family and make sure that everyone is safe from this virus. And so hopefully we'll be able to be back inside the church very soon. Let me update you on a couple requests. A prayer on our prayer list. Joyce Britton did have her surgery. Had a day on her finger. It all went well. Talked with her a little bit about lunchtime. She said she was doing okay. And everything, she'll go back in a couple of weeks to see the doctor and everything, but she's doing fine. And then Jim sees the doctor tomorrow. He's having some problems, and they're checking out. And then next week that they'll he'll see the doctor again about his leg and his hip. Still haven't got the MRI set up, but they're in the process of all of that. Darnell's, we put on the website. She saw the doctor on Monday, hoping that they would put the cast on, and she had a blister on her heel, so they weren't ready to put the cast on. They did put a boot on her foot, but it'll be 3 more weeks till they'll cast it, so she can't put no more weight on it for 3 weeks. So ask the Lord just to encourage her. I know that I was disappointing. So ask the Lord to help there and meet the needs of her heart, her life. And then Jan, I was talking with Holden a moment ago still on her antibiotics, but doing okay. So ask the Lord to continue to help her. Gosh, Jamie, he's gathering some of fluid in his body, and they're concerned about that. Going to be checking out his heart to see about that. So ask the Lord to oversee in that. I'm thinking he sees the doctor tomorrow, so keep him in your prayers. Randy Lale's dad, he had the fluid drawn off his lung today, and they also did the biopsies on several places that they saw and were concerned about, and they'll get the results of that next Tuesday. So keep him in your prayers. And then Holly will have a treatment next Wednesday. So to be asking the Lord to help there. So a lot of things going on. And we have so many on our prayer list on the website. Check those out. Keep them in your prayers. And I try to keep them updated every day or so. So do look at those and do keep them in your prayers. So do want to mention those. So let's go to the Lord in prayer tonight and ask his help in these needs and in these lives. And then we'll look a little bit in the word of the Lord. So let's bow our heads for a prayer. Our Father in heaven, we thank you tonight for the time we had to look into your word and study it for a little while. Thank you for those that have gathered, Lord, outside, and Lord, those that are inside here with us. I ask that you'd touch all of our hearts and meet the needs of our lives. And Lord, help our church family. We have many that are dealing with sicknesses and recovering from surgeries and different things. People that are going to doctors and having different things going on in their lives. I ask that you'd help them and touch them and encourage them and meet the needs of their heart. Some are waiting test results and looking for other things to happen in their lives. Father, would you oversee it all? And we'll thank you for it. But now, Lord, tonight, as we look into your word, somehow speak to our hearts and touch us as only you can. And Father, I pray for our community and those that are dealing with the virus tonight in our neighboring churches. Father, would you touch and move in every need, Father, as only you can. Encourage our pastors, Father, about us, and help us, Father, that we lift up one another and pray for one another as we ought, and we'll thank you for it. Again, help us tonight. Help all of our church family. Guard us from sickness. Keep us in your care and meet the needs of our heart. And we'll thank you and praise you for that you do. In Jesus' name, we do humbly ask these things and pray tonight. Amen. I ask you tonight, if you will, take your Bibles and turn again to James chapter number 1. James chapter number 1. We continue our study tonight in this portion of the Word of the Lord. In James chapter number 1, I'm going to begin down in verse number 19, and I'm going to read verses 19 through 25 tonight. I really don't think I'm going to cover all these verses, but I want to read them because this is the section that I'll deal with. Like I said, I don't know that I'll be able to cover them tonight, but we'll start and we'll go as far as we can, and then we'll pick up and finish them up next time when we come together and study the Word. But in James chapter 1 and verse 19, James continues, and you can tell it's a new section that he comes. It is still continuing the thoughts that he's been talking about, but the word wherefore is a connection word. He is saying, when he uses the word wherefore, he is saying because of all of this, because of what I've just been telling you, because of what I've just said, he is continuing in then with another thought. So he says, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if a man be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. So that is reading verses 19 through 25 tonight, that which the Lord has impressed on our heart. So as I said, he begins there in verse 19 with wherefore, connecting us with what he's just said. So we'll begin with that in just a moment. But for beginning tonight, I want to say just a few things that lead us in to this section tonight. In 2019, as part of their discipleship pathway assessment, LifeWay Resources sponsored a survey among Christians who attend church regularly concerning the Bible. And what they found out was really disturbing and troubling, to say the least. The survey discovered among Christians who believe the Bible to be God's Word, and these were faithful, regular, church-going Christians, but what they discovered was that only 32% said they read the Bible daily. 27% said they read the Bible a few times a week. 12% said that they read the Bible at least once a week. 11% said they read it a few times a month. 5% said they read it once a month. And 12% said they rarely or never read the Bible at all. Again, I remind you, these were people, Christians, that said they believed the Bible to be God's Word, and they were faithful, regular, church-going people. For some reason, the vast majority of these Bible-believing, church-going Christians that were surveyed saw very little reason to spend time in the Word of God in any regular pattern. And many of them didn't see the need to spend time with God's Word at all. But what's worse is that there were those who read it for the sake of reading it only without having any further influence in their life whatsoever. You know, we've been putting our services online for some I guess, 2.5 months now since about the latter part of March. And I recently read a statement that caught my attention. It was sent out over an email, and it was sent to pastors, and it was talking about online church services. I was telling my family about it just the other day. And it said this, and the statement was to pastors, and it made this statement. It said, pastors, don't think for a moment that all your church members are watching your live stream services or listening to your sermons each week on the website. You know, when I read that, it startled me for a moment. And then I thought, you know, they're right. You see, I'm not so naive to think that everyone listens, and neither should we think that everyone that sits in our church services on any given Sunday or Wednesday spends time with the Word of God throughout the week, reading it, or studying it. You see, James realized that even in his day, that people to live lives victorious over temptation and the trials of life, that they needed to be actively involved with the Word of God. So I said all of that to say this, you know, especially that latter part, that I'm not so naive to think that everybody in our church, our little church, I'm not so naive to think that everybody that I preach to, that they walk out the door and that they're daily spending time with their Bible. I'm not so naive as a pastor that I think that everybody that I pastor spends time reading daily the Word of God and gaining strength for their lives. I wish they did. I wish that they would take the Word of God and read it and study it and ponder on it. But James, even in his day, realized the importance of taking the Word of God into their life to help them be victorious. And we, as people in our day, and in our society, and in our times, ought to understand the importance of the Word of God to help us be victorious in life. There is one verse that he says in the latter part of verse 21. He says, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. And I'll say more about it when we get to that verse. But the idea of the engrafted word is the word that is in your life, that God, like a seed, has put in your life. It is not saying in that verse that word is only able to save you from your sins, but it is the idea that engrafted word is able to save you from a lot of heartache, from a lot of trouble, from a lot of difficulty in life. So I'm trying to say to you and I tonight, that this Word of God that I hold in my hands is able to help us, to encourage us, to strengthen us, to give us victory over a lot of things in our lives. You know, I deal as a pastor over the years of my ministry. I've dealt with a lot of people dealing with a lot of things in their lives. And I've tried to help them overcome a lot of things that they were struggling with in their life. But I come to find out that a lot of them, the only word of God that they got was on Sunday morning. or Sunday night, and even sometimes Wednesday night, and sometimes not even that. They did not have any kind of a daily or weekly relationship with the Word of God outside of church. So James is trying to emphasize to these people that they need to have a living, vital relationship with the Word of God. So if I would title this section, James is emphasizing to them the priority of the Word. The priority of the Word. You see, James has just been talking about all the struggles of life that we go through. He's talking about the trials of life that we face. He's talked about the temptations that can come our way because of those trials. And he's now telling them about the importance of the Word to help us be victorious over the trials and the temptations of life. If I were to ask you tonight, if you desired help in those areas of your life, the trials, the troubles, the temptations that come in your life, if I were to ask you tonight individually, if you desired help in those areas of your life, no doubt everybody I asked would say, yes, preacher, I desire help in those areas. Well, if you desire help and if you really are serious, James has given us already some help. He says back in verse 5, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. He says, if you desire wisdom, pray. Pray. Ask God for wisdom. So there's already a place of help is found in prayer. I could pause right here and I'll not go into it, but I could ask you about your prayer life. I could ask you tonight, how is things in your prayer life? Is your prayer life, does it consist of 30 seconds three times a day when you pray over your meal? So, you know, I've read somewhere years ago that somebody said the average Christian's prayer life is 90 seconds a day. And that would be about 30 seconds over three meals. And they said that was the average Christian's prayer life. You know, the more I thought about it, I thought that may be right. So I could ask you tonight, how's your prayer life? James says, any man that lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. So prayer is a place and a resource of help in times of trial and temptation. But then it goes down to verse 18, is where he first mentions the Word. He talks about us being begotten of the Word of truth. He mentions the Word of truth. But now he comes on down. So he tells us not only is that Word of God a life-giving power, but now James is going to say that the Word of God is a faith-building power. Whenever the trials of life want to shake our faith, when the temptations of life have threatened our faith, the Word of God is there to help build our faith. So James goes from what he's just said into the priority of the Word of God. So all of that is introduction. That's why I said I'll never get all down through these verses. So now I'm going to get into these verses. So in verse number 19, James begins, and he says, Wherefore, because of all of this, because of everything I've been telling you, based on all of that, he says, wherefore, my beloved brethren, so James says, wherefore, my beloved brethren. I don't know about you, but when I read that, I feel the heart of James. I sense the love of James and what he's about to say. James is saying, I'm concerned about every one of you. It's because I love you that I'm about to say what I say to you. It's because I care about you. James is gonna get down to the nitty-gritty with some things. James is gonna get down to where the rubber meets the road on some things that he's about to deal with in the scriptures. James is gonna get personal with some things. James is going to get down to their heart on some things. But he starts out and he says, I say what I say to you. I love brethren. He said, because I love you. Do you realize sometimes the preacher preaches the way he does? It isn't because he's angry at anybody. It isn't because he's upset at anybody, but it's because he loves you. There are times that I preach messages and I walk out of the pulpit with a heavy heart, and the devil comes to me and he whispers in my ear and he says to me, he says, you're awful rough on them today. The devil gets on my shoulder and he says, you know, you're kindly hard on them and you're awful rough on them. And I think about that and it weighs on my heart at times. But you realize tonight, I want you to understand something tonight. I preach the way that I preach because I love you. I preach the way I do because I care about you. If I didn't care about this flock of people, if I didn't care about St. John Baptist Church, if I didn't care about your families, and if I didn't care about your life, then I just come and I just tell you how wonderful you are. I'd say, oh, you're all doing so well. You just go out there and do how you want to do. Live how you want to live. Everything's going to be rosy in the end. That everything's just peachy keen. You just go out there and live your life. And you just go out there and have your fun. You just go out there and live it up. And everything will be all right. God don't care about all of those things. He'll let you into heaven. It'll be all right. If I didn't care about you, I'd just tell you all those things. There's enough of that kind of preaching on the airwaves out there tonight. There's enough of that stuff going on out there tonight that tells that kind of stuff. But I preach to you the truth because I love you. I tell you what the Bible says because I love you. Sometimes it's an encouraging message, and I love to preach that. But sometimes God will put something on my heart, and it deals with sin. Sometimes it deals where the rubber meets the road, like I said. Sometimes it deals with how our lives are and where our lives need to be. And they're not always the easiest things to preach, but I preach them because I love you and because I care about you. And I want to see God's blessings on your life. And James comes to him and he says, wherefore, my beloved brethren, I'm telling you what I tell you because I love you. So then he comes right in on what he wants to tell them. He starts out with some words of instruction, and I may only give verse 19 tonight. He gives them some words of instruction. Three little short statements. And we've all heard them. We've all probably said them. You maybe have even memorized them. He says, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. So he starts out and he says these little quick statements, and they are designed as quick statements that we might remember them, that we might take them to heart. And God says, first of all, and James says to them, be swift to hear. Now that was extremely important to those early saints. because they didn't have the Bible like we have. They didn't have something like this. They didn't have a Bible to carry under their arm and carry with them to church. What they had was the teachings of the Old Testament. They had the oral teachings, and occasionally they may have bits and pieces of an Old Testament book, but mainly the oral teachings. And then if they had some of the early letters of some of the early apostles, they were passed around from church to church. So they had to maybe wait a turn to hear. But these saints were scattered abroad. Remember that from that first part of the book. They were scattered abroad. So these were Christians scattered. So they didn't have what we have. They had the oral teachings. They had what they had been taught. And so James says to them, be swift to hear. The idea is, whenever that's saying swift to hear, be mentally sharp. It's the idea to pay close attention. Be attentive to what you hear. Be swift to hear. Pay close attention. Pay close attention to what you hear. So James is saying to them, and that was important to them, because of their circumstance, because of their situation, to be swift to hear. But with what he says to them in that day, he speaks so perfectly to the need of modern Christianity today. She'll say, why so? Because we're living in a day and in a society of sound bites. We live in a world of sound bites. Everything is done in sound bites, just short, little, quick things. We have news flashes. We have news blurbs. We have Facebook posts. Text messages. We have tweets on Twitter. Everything is just little short statements and little quick things. There was a time when commercials on television were 60 seconds, but now they're 15 seconds and some are even less. Some are 5 and 10 seconds. They want to grab your attention quick and move on. So you say, why did they do that? Because they know that in today's society, people are poor listeners. And so they want to grab your attention quickly. You may ask the question tonight, why is it that we're poor listeners? I think it is partly because we're just so busy. Everybody's got so much going on. We're busy in our lives that we just don't have time to listen. We don't have time to listen. We've got so many things going on. We're doing here, going there. We've got this happening, that happening. I guarantee you that the majority of you listening to me tonight, that you've already got planned things you got to take care of tomorrow. We've got things that we need to do. And we have gotten our lives so busy that we just don't have time to pray and read our Bibles and do those things, to be still and know that He's God. Our calendars are so full. Our lives are so busy, and sadly, our hearts have become empty. So James says to them in that day, be swift to hear, pay attention. That is something so needed in our day, that we once again become a people that are swift to hear, that we pay close attention to what we hear, that we listen carefully to what's being said. I'll be honest with you tonight. That makes the work of the pastor even harder than it's ever been. I appreciate people that come by occasionally, and they have good intentions, and I know that they mean well, and I know that many of them that say it, mean what they say. But at times, people will come by and say, "Preacher, you take all the time you need preaching. We'll stay right here with you." And I know that some mean that. And that there are some that would stay with me preaching. But I'll be honest with you tonight. The vast majority, I would lose them after about 25 to 30 minutes. Tops. James Newton, the one that wrote the wondrous hymn, Amazing Grace. John Newton, the one that wrote the amazing hymn, or the wondrous hymn, Amazing Grace. John Newton made the statement one time. He said, "When weariness begins, edification ends." And he's right. When weariness begins, edification ends. When people start getting tired, then edification ends. Then you start losing them. There was a time in days past, preachers could hold people's attention for an hour and 15, 20 minutes or longer preaching. But those days are long gone. Long gone. You say, why? What's the difference? It's because our minds have become adapted to quick things, to short things, to commercials, catching our attention, gone, to things happening quickly, and it's over. So James gives the challenge to be swift to hear his truth. So we need to be attentive to what God says. But then he says, and I'm going to quickly give you these others and I'll be done. He says, be slow to speak. Slow to speak. And we all have trouble here, don't we? The churches in James's day were unstructured. In other words, at times anybody could just stand up and interrupt the service. I mean, they didn't have it organized like we're organized, you know. And so at times just somebody could stand up and just say anything in the service. So James gives a good principle here, a good common sense principle. He said, be slow to speak. What James is saying is, think before you speak. Now that's just good common sense. Somebody said one time, God gave us two ears and one mouth, so we ought to listen twice as much as we talk. That's pretty good wisdom if you think about it. If you're like me, we're far too often more ready to pass an opinion when we really shouldn't. You and I know that we're often quick to say things when we shouldn't. You know what? I've never had to take back anything that I didn't say. Did you get what I said? I've never had to take back anything that I didn't say. The sad thing is, even when we've had to take back things that we've said, you never really can undo the damage once it's out there. Proverbs 10 and 19 says, in the multitude of words, there wanteth not sin, but he that refraineth his lips is wise. What Solomon says is this, there is much sin found in words, but wisdom is found in restraint. So I say what James says. He says, be slow to speak. Hell, I'll plead guilty tonight. Maybe nobody else would. But I plead guilty that I've often jumped to the wrong conclusion. I've often been quick to judge. I've often been quick to say the wrong thing, to offer advice when I needed to keep my mouth shut. So we need to learn, as James said, that we'd be swift to hear, slow to speak, and then slow to wrath. James knew that often, even as Christians, that we were slow to listen when we ought to be swift to listen. And he knew that we were quick to speak when we ought to be slow to speak. And sometimes we would say the wrong thing and get ourselves in trouble. And often when we said the wrong thing, that it would cause anger to come out and wrath would come out of our mouths. You see, and when that happens, the testimony of the church can be affected and it can harm the witness of the family of God. So what James is saying, we ought to have a long fuse and not a short fuse. I ask you that question tonight. What kind of fuse have you got, long fuse or short fuse? Does it take a little bit to set you off or a lot to set you off? James said we ought to be so to wrath. Sometimes we're bad to just want to give people a piece of our mind. Sometimes we're bad to just want to spout off in anger and wrath before we know the whole story. James said, be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. Now he's setting up everything about how we ought to listen to the Word of God. But before he does, he's given us some advice, some words to think about ourselves. As a matter of fact, it's more. It is more than words of advice, because it is found in the Word of God. Because it is under the anointing of the Holy Spirit of God, it is a command of God to be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. So I ask you tonight, how do you fit into all of that? And ask me tonight, how do I fit into all of that? It may be tonight the Lord has searched your heart. It may be he could have brought some conviction on your heart. Maybe you're not as swift to hear the Word of God and the things of God that you ought to hear. It may be tonight that you're not as slow to speak as you ought to be. That maybe you're quick to offer an opinion, quick to say what's on your mind before you get all the information. It may be tonight that you've got the short fuse and you're quick to spout off things and set off the anger and the wrath before you've got all you need to know. And maybe tonight the Lord's brought some conviction to your heart. If he has, before the sun goes down tonight, and it's starting to set, before the sun sets tonight, before you put your head on the pillow tonight, I'd get somewhere along with God, and I'd say to him, Lord, would you help me tonight? Help me that I would be what James said. Help me to be swift to hear. Help me that I'd be slow to speak. Help me that I'd be slow to wrath. I don't know how the Lord may have touched your heart with all of this evening. I sure know how He touched my heart, how He spoke to my life. But I ask that you take the Word. Let it speak to your heart. Let it work in your life and help you and draw you closer to Him. I knew I'd not get far, but I've tried to give you exactly what the Lord said to give you. I've told you what He said because I love you. Oh my, how it's touched my heart. How it's worked me over. And if it's touched you tonight, ask God to help you and touch you, move and work in your life. Let's bow our heads in word of prayer and we'll be dismissed. Our Father tonight, I thank you for your word. I thank you for how it speaks to our heart and how it's spoken to my heart. Take your word, your truth, and work it into our lives and bring glory and honor to your name. And we'll thank you for all you do. Keep us safe going to our homes and bring us back at the next appointed time. In thy name we ask and pray. Amen. Thank you for being here tonight and your liberty to go.